Today on Real Radio.
In this 21st century, we're down to this thing all over again that happened at Mount Carmel. We're down to the battle right now of two gods. It is the battle between Allah of Islam and Yahweh of Judeo-Christian biblical roots. Two completely separate, different gods. One's real, one's not.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his topical series on the Ten Commandments, and we're just now getting into the meat of the whole series. We've already heard the introduction to this collection of studies, and now we're examining the first of these. Now, throughout this lesson today, keep in mind, if you would, why is this commandment, which deals with other gods, listed first? I'm going to give you a little hint. I sat down with Pastor Jack a little while back, and he told me, if you've got the first, you've pretty much got the rest, but I'm going to let him tell you about that. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Exodus chapter 20 and Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. We're going to give this verse for the next 10 weeks because of what Jesus has to say about it. Matthew 5, 17. Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Not one hyphen or one apostrophe in the Hebrew language will pass without being fulfilled, Jesus is saying. And then Exodus chapter 20, here's the verse for tonight. Exodus 20, verses 2 and 3. The first commandment. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." And here it is. "You shall have no other gods before me, says the Lord." The giving of the Ten Commandments. If you want to take the time, write it down if you would, or in the margins of your Bible there of Exodus 20 and Matthew chapter 5, that if you take the time to read Exodus 19 and 20, it's a pretty awesome moment because we're talking about the Ten Commandments, and you might say tonight, what does that have to do with me, the Ten Commandments? The truth is it has everything to do with you and I because number one, as we saw last week in our introduction, the Ten Commandments are holy. They're not only holy, they express the very nature of God. They also do this. They expose to us our need for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the epitome of the law. The Ten Commandments has a companion. And the companion of the Ten Commandments is found in Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7. And it is the Beatitudes. Jesus speaks on the Mount of Beatitudes about the Beatitudes like poor in spirit. Be in the attitude of a peacemaker. Why? Because the Beatitudes are the spirit of the law. What the law could not do because it cannot save a man. Oh yes, listen tonight, legalist. Listen tonight, someone who may be bound up in a performance-based relationship with God. We should be doing good works and giving God all the glory and honor and being engaged in what he's called us to do to shape our culture and to be a great witness, no doubt about it. But that's not how you get to heaven. The Ten Commandments is to point us to the cross. It cannot point us to heaven. Even though it displays God's righteousness, it does so in a manner that brings us to the place of frustration. Because when we come to the very first commandment, we have an issue. But when you get the chance, I want you to read Exodus 18 and 19. I want you to read into chapter 20. The children of Israel have been led out of Egypt. It's pretty amazing. God is leading them. He's guiding them. All of this amazing manifestation of God's presence. And then listen to this. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. God speaks to the people. We often don't think about that. God speaks to the people. And then watch what happens. The people say, "No more of this." God says, "Okay, I won't talk to you guys publicly because you freak out. I'll just write it down." And he writes it down on what we know as the Ten Commandments. So check this out. Exodus 20, verse 18. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings and the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." That had to be awesome. So tonight, church, I want you to get that in your mind. We've got this mindset sometimes that what only can wow us is Hollywood or some thing. Oh no, God shook a mountain. He covered it with dark, thick clouds, and lightning shot out from it, and his voice came, and the people heard him speak. That had to be amazing. Oh, if God just showed me a sign, I would believe in him. If God showed you who he was in all of his totality, the Bible tells us that we would melt, we would die because of his grandeur. You know, look, you and I go like this when somebody has a very powerful camera and they take a picture and the flash goes off, and you and I go, "Oh, that was so bright. Oh, I can't see." Can you imagine God, if he was to expose just his smile for a moment? You'd be fried. Apparently, Moses' face just glowed from the presence of God. That had to be amazing. But what was God doing by all of this giving of the Ten Commandments? What was going on? Number one, he was calling his people, Israel, who he picked randomly. He picked Israel. He set them out as a chosen people. By the way, that's why people have a hard time with Jerusalem and with Israel and the Jews. You know why? Because God loves them. You need to think about that for a moment. Why are they the most persecuted people on earth throughout human history? Why are they most rejected? Why are they most refused, mocked, and persecuted? Because God picked them. The world hates them. And you're a Christian tonight, the world hates you also. Keep that in mind. Exodus chapter 20, verse 19 says this regarding what we just read a moment ago. Then said to Moses, "You speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die." Verse 20. And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to prove you that," listen, "his fear may be before you so that you may not sin." Why did God give the Ten Commandments? The answer is so that we, the Jews, anyone who would make the Lord, Yahweh, their God, that God would say, "All right, I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my man. You're going to be my woman. I'm going to lead you out of this world like I did the children of Israel out of Egypt. And I'm going to put my spirit in you. And I'm going to call you to walk a completely different life. You are going to be different than all other people in the world." That is not only true for the Jewish nation and for the Jewish people, but it's true for the church as well. All of you who trust in Christ. You are a peculiar people, says the Bible. God has called you out of the world. And it is his desire that he work in you a life, listen, a life no longer devoted to sin. Think about that. When he says that you may not sin, it doesn't mean that you be sinless. No one is sinless until they drop dead. When this body cannot sin any longer. The moment you and I became a Christian, the Bible says, Jesus said we were born afresh, born anew, born again. And our minds changed, the way of our processing of information changed. You know, people who accept the Lord and I have a chance to talk to them, I'll talk to the New Beginnings class and I'll tell them the most profound way of knowing that you've accepted Christ, that the Holy Spirit has moved inside of your life, is not goosebumps. It's not jumping up and down. It's not running around barking or being weird. There is I can tell you by personal experience for me, I still remember, in a matter of hours after I gave my heart to Christ, I recognized a change in the way that I thought. The first normal thought I had, which was not a godly thought, the first normal thought I had after coming to Christ, there was this instant, wonderful, amazing what's the word? Rebuke? But that's too strong of a word. I mean, I was a brand new baby, a few hours old spiritually. I felt this, hey, Jack, you don't need to think that way anymore. That's what I'm telling you. You don't need to think like that anymore. Okay, Lord. Well, you got to teach me how to think. And that's what the Bible's all about. The Bible tells us, listen, as we get into this first commandment tonight, that there's a sin that we way too easily commit and that we often so easily tolerate, and that is the sin of idolatry, idols. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 6, verse 12, beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. A warning, don't forget the works of God in your life. That's easily done when we're blessed. You know what? I think America is waking up to the good life we once had. We never had to worry about food or gasoline prices and all this stuff. And life was easy. Life was smooth and all this kind of stuff. And then in the last, I don't know how many years, our nation has forgotten God and our affluence and our wealth. We have forgotten God. I'm still waiting, and maybe, you know what, I'm being convicted. Look at me. I'm a man under conviction right now. The thought just entered my mind, hasn't come out of my mouth yet. I was just about to tell you or to say to you, when will our government, when will our leaders, when will our president say, something's wrong in America. We're being blasted by floods and snows and earthquakes and whatever. We need to pray. You know, years ago, our presidents would have called for a prayer meeting by now. But as you can see, I'm being, this is the face of the Holy Spirit beating me up right now. He is saying to my heart right now, Jack, forget about the president. What about you and this church? We need to pray. We need to pray for this nation. Maybe we're still too comfortable out here in paradise, you know? I don't know. We see people, their homes being washed away. We see tornadoes and hurricanes washing stuff off foundations, all this stuff going on. We hear about crops failing and how summertime it's going to be rough getting food and all this stuff happening. Oh my goodness. Well, listen, how bad does it have to get before we pray? We need to call out to him. Well, why don't we? You know what? Because we often think in a sense where unless our idols are touched, things are okay. And so number one, jot it down. The first commandment, the one commandment tonight is this. Number one, the first commandment, Exodus 20, verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. It's this, real love for the real God. Will you write that down? Real love for the real God. If you're some of the young people in here tonight, that's the first commandment. Real love for the real God. And excuse me or forgive me in advance as I just kind of get excited about this because I love it. The first commandment is one of those that we talked about last week. It's the first one of a vertical commandment. Will you mark that down? It's vertical. It's your heart upward unto God. It's a vertical commandment. And I'll point that out with each commandment. Some are horizontal, some are vertical. This one's vertical. You shall have no other gods, plural, before me. And you might say tonight, how can this possibly be true when the Bible teaches me over and over again that there are no other gods? Right? You agree with that? There are no other gods. The Bible says there's no other gods. Well, then why does God say you can't have any other gods before me? Are there gods or are there not gods? It all depends on the angle that you're looking at this question from or this statement from. Number one, from God's perspective, from God's vantage point, are there any other gods? No, he's it. From our perspective, from the human angle, are there any other gods? And we would say, yeah, I guess so. There's all kinds of gods. I wouldn't even venture to guess. There must be thousands, tens of thousands. Maybe there's millions of gods. If you travel the world, you hear about all kinds of gods. Right now in our world culture, I mean global culture, I hope you're waking up to the fact, you should be alert to this fact that imagine in this 21st century, we're down to this thing all over again that happened at Mount Carmel. We're down to the battle right now of what we would say two gods. It is the battle between Allah of Islam and Yahweh of Judeo-Christian biblical roots. Two completely separate, different gods. One's real, one's not. But people have their gods. And I want to challenge you tonight. What is or who is your God? You say, I'm an atheist. I don't have a God. Yes, you do. That's the dangerous thing about idols. They're hard to identify because they get under our skin. Hey, I was right out of high school. I bought a brand new Ford. Brand new. Ordered it from Ford Motor Company, Detroit, Michigan. I ordered it. When it came, it had my name on the dash. It had my name. I had the money then to do that kind of stuff. And let me tell you something. I was a Christian. But then this thing arrived. And it was like, wow. And I had to walk around it a few times. Let me tell you something. I'd go to the mall or somewhere, and I'd park so far away so nobody would park next to it. Why? Oh, because it might get a scratch, and if it does, there goes my self-esteem. Can I sit in your car? No! Nobody sits in my car. That kind of stuff makes a freak out of you. That can be an idol. Things like that. The pursuit of education. It's great to be educated. Just watch out where you're getting educated and what. But it's great. In the right direction for the right things. Yes. True science, true knowledge, absolutely. But some people worship that. And that's a dangerous thing. Could be power. People strive and long for power. You shall have no other God before me, the Bible says. Why is that so dangerous? Well, there's a lot of reasons why. We'll just look at a couple of them tonight. But listen, one thing is this. It's because you and I have the capacity to create gods in our image. See, the Bible says that God created us in His image. And if you're not worshiping Him, and if He's not number one on a list of one, then there's some trouble going on in your life. And there's a battle of the wills. And one of these things is that the human nature has the ability to create a god or gods in our own image. That's why idolatrous gods that we make up are very convenient for our agenda. You look at a god that someone worships. Who is their god? Ask them, who's your god? And watch how they live their life. A friend of mine, well, he goes to this church, bought a car. I don't know why I'm talking about cars tonight. I really could care less. But anyway, it's kind of interesting because he bought a car from a guy, and when he went to go get this car, it was obvious that this guy has a shrine of these vehicles, and he has a warehouse in Los Angeles where he parks all of his cars. How many cars do you need? Well, when it begins to be something that obsesses you, and then you begin to look, you can always tell who someone's God is if you look at their checkbook or where they spend their money. What or who gets the bulk of your thought energy, your commitment, your sweat, and your money? Right now, it appears that global governments are trying to get everybody's money. Why? What's the promise? We'll take care of you. Can you imagine if a nation of believers, I mean nation, a world of believers stood up and said, we have God to take care of us. Government can be God. We have to be very, it could be very subtle. I sometimes believe, I've said this before, but that whole wonderful, strange, scary thing with Abraham and Isaac, what was that all about? I think Isaac had reached a place in Abraham's heart where Abraham's heart had to give that child or that young man up into the Lord, because I think Isaac got in the way of Abraham and his God. And I'm going through that right now. My daughters are, they're old now. My daughters are old. But now we have the granddaughter, and it's like, hey, what does she want? Somebody find out what she wants and give it to her and give her two of them. And God says, no, no, no. But we have a tendency to do this. So mark this down. In our first point of the first commandment in our series, it is this. Number one is that real God means real devotion with God. And I wrote that down right. You say that doesn't sound right. Yeah, it has to be. Real God, that's who he is, means real devotion with God. You mean for God? No, that's a given. With God. I'm talking about fellowship with God. If he's a real God, and he is, and you and I are alive right now, and you are, then he would call us in this first commandment to have a real devotional life with God. He says, you'll have no other God before me, or gods, I should say. Notice that it's plural. It's not singular. He didn't say no other God before me, but he said it in the plural, because men's hearts, in fact, are an altar. And we can have a lot of clutter in our hearts. We can be pulled in 1,000 different ways by things of interest, things of commitment. And God says, I want to prioritize your life and a devotional life. Jack, this is what I want to do with you. I'm the real God, the living true God, and I will arrange your life. Listen, based upon my priorities, Jack. Tonight, church, we need to understand, and young people tonight, listen in. You need to come to that place, and the sooner you get to it, the better off you'll be, is all the stuff that you're thinking you need to grab onto. Like, have you ever seen the monkey on National Geographic? They put the jar out there, and they put the fruit in the jar, and they want to catch a monkey. It's amazing. They put the fruit in the jar like an apple. The monkey wants the apple so bad, but the guy in the jungle wants the monkey. The monkey wants applesauce, and the hunter wants monkey sauce. And the monkey puts his hand in the jar, and he wants the thing so bad, but when he grabs the apple, he can't pull it out of the hole. All he has to do is turn the jar upside down, the apple will fall out. But he wants it so bad, he's pulling on it, and he's swinging it around, he's not. And then the guy walks up and just drags home a monkey. We can be like that with stuff. You think, I gotta have this, I gotta do this, I gotta have this thing, I gotta pursue this course, I gotta have this thing, I've gotta reach this level of. And you're like that monkey. Put God first. And let him get the monkey off your back. Put God first and let him put things in order. I wish we were all free from worrying or thinking about stuff that we ought not to be worried about. But the fact is that there's a tendency to be cluttered in our heart. And those things can become gods to us. Exodus chapter 33 verse 16 says this. For how then will it be known that your people... And I have found grace in your sight, Moses is talking to God on the mount, except you go with us. And so we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So the Lord said to Moses, I love this. I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. Oh Lord, make that a prayer. Lord, may I find grace in your sight. Church, pray this prayer, will you? Every day, will you? For your life. For your life, pray, Lord, shower me with your favor.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a lesson that examines the first of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's a look at how you and I, if left to our own devices, can easily stray from the true God of Israel, who is indeed the creator of all. Again, it's an examination of commandment number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And it's part of Pastor Jack's topical series, which examines all 10 commandments. We hope you'll make plans to be with us for this entire series, because it is a good one. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently, we presented Pastor Jack's series through the New Testament book of James, and it was a good one. Now, if you missed it or you missed any part of it, here's the good news. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series all on one MP3 CD, so you can listen to it anytime, day or night. That's Pastor Jack's entire series through the book of James, all on an MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio. Simply visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org, and you'll see right where to point and click. It's no big deal. realradioactive.org. Or you can give us a call if you'd like. Our telephone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.